It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, and Hans D in the house. Hansie, what's up, man?
What up?
What's going on? How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Halloween good for you?
Yeah, it was nice. Pretty laid back.
Were you a pilot for Halloween?
I was a guy in a hoodie and sweatpants watching a movie for Halloween.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Answered the door for the trick-or-treaters. It was a good time.
That's always good. That's always good. A couple of things to hit on. Let's get to a couple of these texts on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We are going to play some Brett Bielema here coming up soon. And then, of course, we'll finish out with some Who You Got, the Hans D specialty. But Wes on the U of I Atlanta Link text line says that if the Bears were to get Jim Harbaugh, they would also be drafting J.J. McCarthy as well. I don't know how to feel about that. I don't know where he's currently projected. If you're talking about high-end first round, I'm not down for that. I don't.
Right.
I haven't seen enough out of McCarthy as far as that goes. We were talking a little bit off the air, Kyle, that the Michigan offense is built on up front. Like, they've got a great duo of backs with Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards. They've been able to win the line of scrimmage with their offensive line. And they don't lean that heavy on the passing attack. Also, they played nobody so far this year.
Right.
So that's another thing. Now, did he have a nice season last year? Yeah, they went deep
for
good reason.
He still had his question marks last year.
It's true.
In that college football playoff game, threw two pick sixes, which ended up
about that.
Losing Michigan the game against TCU. So, really, I mean, to me, I think McCarthy is a good prospect. But to me, nothing I've seen from him, and I'll be interested to see him play Penn State, Ohio State, college football playoff this year, assuming that's the path Michigan's on. Just what I've seen from him so far in his career, like you said, they don't ask him to do a whole lot. Doesn't really stretch the field much. And he has had – there's been some questionable decision-making with him at times. Nothing that he's done so far in his college career screams that's a franchise top 10 draft pick that the Bears would – you know. And that's the other thing, too. Bears are going to have – the Panthers are terrible, and the Bears are terrible. They're going to have a top three draft pick. It's good likelihood it's going to be number one between one of those two picks. So are you taking McCarthy over Caleb and Drake May?
No.
And are you – so in that situation, are you then taking Marvin Harrison one, and then your second pick at four, you're taking McCarthy after Caleb? Like, I don't see any scenario where the Bears end up taking McCarthy, and I just don't think he's necessarily worthy of being in the conversation with – those top two guys.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you as far as that goes. Of course, my hope, I'm still holding out a little bit of hope that Justin Fields is going to show enough down the stretch that it works out, that you're going to ride with him. And I don't know, would it be realistic to say that maybe it's a situation now that the Bears have traded their second round pick, that maybe would that be a range that McCarthy could fall to, or is he going to be a surefire number one?
I mean, I think he could be one of those guys. Like, you think about Will Levis this year, who, I mean, there was buzz of him for a long time about could he go in the top five? Is he one of, and then he slides to the early second round. The Titans take him as kind of a, we don't fully believe in this guy, but we'll take a second, we'll take a flyer on him in the second round, not our top pick. I feel like that's kind of where McCarthy's at as of now. Now,
right,
he could show something here towards the end of the season and shoot up draft boards. I'm not saying he can't do that, but as of now, I would project him as like a late first, second, day two pick, at least from what I've seen from him.
And I'd be fully on board with your top two picks are Marvin Harrison Jr., a left tackle, one of those top guys. Maybe you land at one, and again, this is me being trying to ride with Justin Fields until the wheels completely fall off. Maybe you get the first pick and you get a haul in terms of coming back to you so that the Cardinals can trade up there, or maybe it's somebody else getting into that number one spot. And one of those, if you end up with a second round pick or whatever, trade into the second round, maybe you draft McCarthy and he competes with Fields, or he's a guy that in the mix going forward. I'd be okay with that, but not to be like the franchise guy going forward. So I think that'd be something that that's the way I see it in terms of J.J. McCarthy and Jim Harbaugh. A 217, we touched on this. Jim Whitman extension. A 217 asks, does an AD survive three head coaching hires, lot riding on Coach B? I mean, that's fair because football is, of course,
sure,
the biggest driver of revenue, and you've got quite a gauntlet in the Big Ten coming when you have USC, Oregon, Washington, UCLA on their way. There's no indication right now that Coach B is in jeopardy or anything like that, and you just won 8 games. It is important, the finish of this season, and just projecting forward, Illinois's got to be better on the recruiting trail, in my opinion. I think that there's more to be desired there in terms of being a little bit higher in the rankings. Not to say that that is the only indication of success, because Iowa and Wisconsin for a lot of years has not been a team that's recruited like an Ohio State or a Michigan, and still found ways to develop players and win. But I do think that it's fair to wonder about recruiting, and admittedly, I would say even more so portal recruiting. I think Illinois has got to do a better job of going in the portal and being able to attract impact players. They didn't do that this past offseason outside of Luke Altmyer, who's been a decent at quarterback.
You needed to get a quarterback.
You
right?
had to, yeah.
So it,
you had to get
me,
somebody.
Yeah, to me, it was a no-brainer to go to the portal and get a quarterback once DeVito's waiver. So I don't really count that in terms of, oh, they got an impact player in the portal.
No,
what
good.
Else were
yeah.
you going to do? You're going to start John Paddock at quarterback. Yeah. That wasn't an option.
It's true. And he would have been a portal addition
sure.
as well,
good
right?
Good point.
So in terms of, like, Luke Altmyer wasn't a high impact. I'm not trying to sell that. I mean, he came in and he's got a situation where, you know, it's a future some people can get excited about. I think some are still holding out judgment on what kind of path forward is going to be for Luke Altmyer, big picture. But on the whole, in this environment, you have to go to the portal, in my opinion, and make some big splashes. And Illinois did not do that this past offseason. So I think going forward, coupling it with NIL and also a coaching staff that's able to hit on those things, that's a big difference between – like Brad Underwood's ability to go to the portal and get a Terrence Shannon, even though he had his flaws and he was frustrating. Matthew Meyer helped get to a tournament last year. To add Damask and Harmon and Guerrier this year, we'll see where this season goes. But I mean, that's the difference between being a top 25 team and being a middle of the pack. Will they make the tournament team potentially? Those type of additions. So I think Illinois football needs more of that. You got to be able to shore up the offensive line, the secondary, that those type of things. And kind of to circle back to the question, yeah, I get it that if Coach B doesn't work out, but I still think that Kyle, do you agree with me? Probably a 4 to 5 year window until we really find out that. I don't yes. see any situation where it's like, hey, in 2 years we know Coach B's not the guy and he's out of here.
Yeah, it would have to be, and even, you know, you look at next year's football schedule, and it's actually pretty favorable compared to the teams that come in. Like, you'd have to miss a bowl game this year, 3-4 win team next year, and then all of a sudden the hot seat
I guess
talk
it's possible.
Comes back. It's just, I think that I still have a lot of trust in this current football staff that you're not going to fall back to the very bottom of the conference. I think that there's a good likelihood they finish this year at least in bowl eligibility, which is back-to-back years going to a bowl game for the first. It's the second time in what we looked at this like 2 weeks ago. The second time in 30 years that they've been to back-to-back bowl games. That's no small feat for this program. And then I just have trust that this staff is going to at least. And I know it's going to get tougher with the 4 teams coming in, but this team's at least going to be competitive. And it's not going to be a bottoming out that we've seen in the past.
Yeah. To bring up this other side of it, which is, you know, fair in an argument, I'm not forecasting this to happen. I honestly don't think this is the way that we'll go. But I understand someone bringing up the point of, okay, we're going to sign an AD through 2031, possibly even 2033. But there's a chance that the arrow is not pointed up for Illinois football at the end of this year. And also, there's more to be wanted out of Illinois basketball. Yes, deserve a lot of credit for getting it from being a nationally irrelevant program to now being a relevant program in the Big Ten picture and also nationally. But if Illinois' March success doesn't come within the next 2 to 3 years, that more and more noise is going to get drawn up there. There's a situation where Illinois doesn't, on the basketball side, get to the Sweet 16 3 years from now, whatever it is, football side, the arrow doesn't get pointed up. It's an 8-win season, then a 5 or 4-win season, then another less than 6-win season, and all of a sudden the Big Ten's even tougher. It gets even harder to become bowl eligible. That I understand why you'd sit there and say that, hey, maybe that's too long of a contract or whatnot. So I don't think it'll happen that way. I think Brad Underwood and company will break through at some point, as possibly as soon as this season. I think football-wise, a path to 6 is very reasonable there right now. But, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. It's hard to forecast what's going to happen 10 years from now, and I do think Josh Whitman's done a good job on the whole.
Yeah, I think the stability and the turnaround of the basketball program is going to buy Whitman maybe a little more time than other ADs would have gotten, especially at Illinois, which is a basketball-hungry community.
Yes.
And I'm with you. Just keep making the tournament. Just keep putting top 25 teams on paper. Illinois is going to make a Sweet 16. Illinois is going to make a run. It's going to come. Brad Underwood has proven to provide a ton of stability to this basketball program. And regardless, to me, even if in a tougher Big Ten, the football program doesn't quite take that next step that you maybe hoped for after last year, Josh Whitman, I think, is going to be just fine because of that, the basketball stability and turnaround that he, on his first hire,
yes,
brought.
Yeah, I mean, if he hired another John Gross while also hiring Lovie Smith, he'd probably be gone.
For sure.
Probably be gone. Yeah. I mean, again, I used the example of Archie Miller. If he would have gotten the basketball hire wrong on first try and gotten the football hire wrong on first try, which he did, then it'd be tough for him to then get second cracks at both of those, which he got basketball right. That bought him a lot of goodwill, got the opportunity to make the second attempt at the football hire. It seems to have gone well to this point. There's still a lot to play out as the rest of this season goes and just the tenure of Brett Bielema. But no, I think kind of the baseline point that this 217 makes is a lot riding on Coach B is true. There is a lot riding on Coach B as far as what the future of football looks like, and that's obviously going to be very important. Hans, you got anything to add on that?
I mean, I agree for the most part with what you guys are saying. Damn, you caught me off guard. I mean, and as a bonus to the AD, the women's basketball team is ranked 23rd right now.
Yep.
All the other, I guess, minor, for lack of a better term, teams are doing fairly well compared to the past. So there are a lot of good signs from the athletic program in general for him to deserve this. 1.5 is a lot. But, I mean, I guess they've got that money. So, yeah.
It's a lot of money. Yeah, it's not my money. But Mike says, I have to listen to how good Illini basketball is every year from you guys, and they get beat in the first weekend every year. Same will happen this year as well. All right, Mike. Gotcha.
Negative Nelly.
They're a good team. I mean, they've been a good team.
Are you trying to argue that team that was a one seed in 2020, 2021 wasn't good because they had a bad performance one night, one afternoon in the NCAA tournament?
It was a really, really good team. Do they deserve criticism for losing that game? 100%. 100%. Like, in terms of the performance, in terms of the lack of adjustment to win. Loyola took away your fastball that you didn't have another pitch to go to and still beat what was a good Loyola team, but not a Loyola team that was better than you, is saying something. And Illinois has looked very poor in March, like in general, like outside of that, like you go from that game to the Chattanooga, which you should have lost, which I'm not going to hold that entirely against you. You won the game, but you did not look good in that game. You looked outclassed against Houston. Houston was just the better team. And then Arkansas, you were immediately down double digits and you kind of were fighting back the entire game to try to even just make it a competitive basketball game. And you didn't really do that.
Let's be honest. Heading into last year's tournament, there wasn't a whole lot of confidence about this team making a run.
The writing was all over the wall last year. We just knew that team was hard to almost impossible to trust. The high points of it got exhausting to go continue to say, yeah, well, UCLA, yeah, well, Texas. And it just felt further and further away from that as the season went on. Like, I don't see that happening for this team again.
the way I look at it is I've been truly disappointed with Brad Underwood in the NCAA tournament one time since he's been here. And I'm not saying I wasn't disappointed to lose to Houston after they won the Big Ten title, but to me, that year, you should have been a Final Four team. That was one of the best teams in college basketball. To lose to Loyola Chicago was unacceptable, no question. The year after, you played a Houston team that was – they were the better team than you in the second round. You were an underdog in that game. They, if I'm remembering correctly, they were like a top five KenPom team.
Definitely top 10.
And Illinois competed in that game, ended up losing. There was the R.J. Melendez Tech kind of changed things. Like that one, I was disappointed to lose. I'm not putting that against, like, how could you possibly lose that game? That was disgraceful that you didn't make the Sweet 16. And then last year was a team that had some issues. And Brad, I think, has taken a different approach to this year and learned from a lot of the things that happened. So there's been one game, and it's an inexcusable loss and deserves a lot of criticism. But one time, and then the year before that, had a really good team. Tournament gets canceled, never got to see. I was pretty confident heading into that tournament before it got canceled that that team could be dangerous. So I'm, to me, keep putting top 25 teams on paper every year. Keep winning Big Ten games. Keep competing for Big Ten titles. Keep getting high seeds in the tournament. Eventually, you're going to make break through and you're going to get a favorable draw. And I just, there hasn't been a big enough sample size of like terrible tournament losses for Brad Underwood for me to be like, well, this is the hot seat. It's to, you know, this is ridiculous. You keep telling me every year they're good and they fail in the tournament. I disagree with that sentiment completely.
Bill brings up a decent point. If we're being honest, last year's team didn't belong in the tournament. I don't know if I fully agree with that because they did win those games against UCLA and Texas. He said only got there because of two fluky performances against top 10 teams. Yeah, maybe that's – I get where you're coming from, and we've talked about this, like how repeatable those performances were and you were down double digits and whatnot. I would just say they weren't performing like a tournament team down the stretch of last season. And last year was a – it was not a complete failure, but it was a failure to meet expectations. Like that was supposed to be a team that was built for March and constructed in a way that, you know, they were supposed to be more versatile, more yada, yada, yada. And it didn't pan out that way. So, you know, they tried things schematically that didn't work. They had to pivot off of that. They put a roster together that guys left, guys fought with each other. Not literally. I know that was actually reported, or not reported, but rumored about at one point. But, you know, just didn't get along and didn't play great basketball together. So that was a failing to meet expectations off of a year where you, prior to that, you won the Big Ten title. Right,
but you
season,
also lost pretty much all those
and
contributors.
And you lost a lot of guys. Yeah, you lost a lot of guys. And there's a situation where you don't go into the portal and get enough talent to even be in the tournament the following year.
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't go out and make two big splashes in the portal with Meyer and Shannon, you're nowhere near the tournament.
No.
You're at the bottom of the conference.
Right.
And Brad Underwood went out and put together a roster that at least was, you know, they were in that cluster of mediocre Big Ten teams that were, you know, battling it out there.
Yep.
They made the tournament. Obviously, it wasn't Brad Underwood's finest group that he put together for a lot of different reasons, but I also think that, and we'll see it play out this year, but I'm encouraged about the way that he approached this offseason, obviously aside from the point guard question. We've hit on that ad nauseum all offseason,
but
in terms of getting more experienced, you know, some of the guys that, you know, were question marks last year for various reasons aren't here anymore. I think he's taken an approach that last year – there were some things that I wish I could have back in terms of putting this team together. And I think I'm pretty encouraged about the things that have been learned from that. I'm encouraged that this team's going to be a lot better.
Yeah, and to tie a bow on this, I know we're going to get to Brett Bielema audio. We'll catch a break and play a little bit of that before we get to who you got. But obviously this is an interesting conversation and one that a lot of people are interested in. But like this year, I'm not trying to – I wouldn't sell people that, hey, they beat number one Kansas, so this team's going to the Final Four. Or this team is for sure a Sweet 16 team. I'm not selling anybody on that. I think that as you look at it, the way they shot the three – now, credit to Shannon for making five threes. Credit to Coleman Hawkins for making four of them. But when you look at those guys' track records, they're streaky shooters. They're guys that have not, over the course of a season – Like, I know Lon said earlier this week that he thinks Coleman will make, you know, three threes a game. If he does that, he'll be a first-round pick. To this point, he has not been that guy. He's been a guy that can pop up and make four or five. I think he hit six against Wisconsin last year. Then he'll go games where he's 1-for-5 or 0-for-4, whatever it is.
His career-high three-point percentage, 29.2%.
Right. So you have that. You have Shannon shooting what? He shot 28, 29% from three in Big Ten play last year.
32.1 overall.
Overall in the season. So that's where I would caution taking too much from the three-point shooting performances. I do like that, obviously, it happened against a marquee opponent. You got to make the shots. They did it. I like that they're old. I think that allows us to be a more steady team. I think they're deep for the most part. Now, again, we up against a high-level opponent, you didn't see a lot of Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn. You didn't see a lot of Monty Hansberry. You didn't see even that much of Dane Danger, Luke Goody. So they whittled down that rotation in that spot. But then you compare it to, okay, if Kansas is preseason number one, if Purdue's preseason number two, Purdue has some faults. Michigan State's preseason number what, five?
Four.
Like, in contrast to some of those other teams, Illinois that far away. And, the early indications are no. So I think that's where you kind of balance it out. You balance it out of, okay, it's still early. It's one 40-minute game where they looked pretty darn good. Those guys got to, you know, Coleman, Terrence, to be consistent enough through a season. And then, but then also compared to what else we have to know so far about some of the other thought to be top teams around the country. And I don't think Illinois is that far off. I'm not saying this is going to be, I think this team has a decent chance to make the Sweet 16. Am I going to pin Final Four on them? No. I would be surprised if they made the Final Four. I don't think it's completely out of their capabilities, but I think they have a decent chance to make the Sweet 16 as it stands today.
I would agree with that. And I think, to me, my biggest point of encouragement from the Kansas game was seeing all the experience on the court, which just, to me, last year, the steadiness, the fact that down the stretch, it seemed like there weren't a lot of mistakes made. Guys, even without a point guard on the court, now we'll see that play out over much more tight game situations, and it might not go as well. There's no question about it. But having five super experienced college basketball players on the court who are going to make the right decisions, make the right plays late, that's where I think this team is going to be night and day from last year.
Yep.
Where you didn't have a go-to guy, you didn't have that leader. I think Terrence Shannon's going to take over that role in terms of I'm put the ball in my hands, I'm making plays late. There's no need to question that. Same with Coleman, too, where if you want to run something through him. And then just the experience on the court where you're not having a Jaden Epps out there and his youth. You're not having Matthew Meyer, who's just kind of a loose cannon. You're having some steady guys and guys that fit together. That's where I think that this team will be much improved. And I think that a lot of times the biggest talking point heading into March is which team's got the most experience, which team's the oldest. We've seen it play out all kinds of times. I think that could be Illinois could be a team that people end up liking come tournament time, especially if they have a good regular season. But we need to play a little Bielema.
I think that's well said. But, hey, 2 weeks from now, maybe the lack of a established point guard shows up and we're having a different conversation. We'll see.
If they turn it over 22 times against Marquette and it's a close game late and they turn it over and Marquette
can't run good offense
in the backcourt and then all of a sudden the narrative changes. I get it. But
we'll be here to talk about it.
I'm encouraged based on what I've seen in preseason play.
Yes, I agree with that. Let's catch a break. If you want to continue to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. Like Kyle said, we'll play some Brett Bielema on the other side, and we still have Who You Got to Get To before we're done. This is The Drive.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights. Dogtown is the People's Choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
A good week of practice. Really like the focus of our guys this week. Obviously, a rivalry game against Minnesota and where it is. First off, I want to give a shout out to, obviously, he can't play in the first half of this game, but Johnny, to get recognized as one of the 12 finalists for the Lombardi, just speaks volumes about what he's done. I think the thing that's been impressive to me, you know, every day we have NFL scouts come in. The part that jumps out to me, it's no secret that Johnny's a good player now, and he continues to be so productive in what he does. Just excited for him and what he's accomplished. Also within the framework of our team, Reggie practiced, Keith practiced. I think those guys, as long as they handle today's practice, a little bit in these situations, it's a little bit about not what they do that day, but how they feel the next day. But excited where they're at. And then that really should play out for everybody injury-wise. You know, it was colder here at the beginning of the week. I think game day there is supposed to be in their mid-40s. Have a little chance for some rain in the morning, but great stadium over there, great opportunity. And obviously Minnesota sits at the top of the Big Ten West. And for us, you know, to get where we want to be, we got to take one day at a time. I think to get to Saturday, this group's been doing that. Excited for the opportunity on Saturday.
Just for clarity with Keith and Reggie, there's nothing more clearance-wise, there's not another step.
No, they actually practice, to be honest, they practice on Tuesday, too. So we practiced on Tuesday, backed off a little bit yesterday, and then practiced them today.
How have you seen the team embody this last fourth of the season, where you guys know what you have in front of you to get to where you want to be?
Great question, but it's really just about this week, right? So I gave them a calendar that kind of laid out the year, right, and that we have left of 4 weeks, but it's literally a daily task. I challenged them to practice on Sunday. Because of the bye week, we got to jump on Sunday, practice on Tuesday, Wednesday. The only way we can make Saturday happen is have a good Thursday, and that happened today.
Wait, Monday, you just mentioned kind of like what PJ's done in Minnesota. Is there anything particular about this Minnesota team that strikes you?
Well, I think a little bit. You know, I think as a coach, for me as a head coach, what I always see is when you have transition within the year, right? And obviously they've had a couple running backs that haven't been able to be out there, right? I think the growth of the quarterback, he's a guy a year ago came in, you know, and did some good things. But I think as I was watching the film from where he was a year ago to this year, even in the last couple games, it's been pretty evident how good a football player he is. Some supporting parts around him. I really love 27, their DB, right? Like, he's a guy that from the state of Illinois, I've been a fan of his since I first saw him in an opposite kind of way, right? Like, he's a really productive player. So it wasn't surprising to see his brother come in last week and do a lot of good things. Hadn't seen him much, right? But to see the way he's wired, it's impressive. I think PJ's culture, which he talks about a lot, right? He even gives me, when I text him, he gives me an RTB. I'm like, I don't need to see row the boat, Peach, right? But, like, that's just who he is and what he believes in, and I think he reflected in your team.
No, last night you talked about Gabe's versatility on the radio show a little bit. What kind of value does that give you to have a guy?
Well, Gabe is, you know, it sounds like, you know, when you interview Gabe and he's been around, he's been successful, everybody thinks he's, like, you know, been here 5 years. He's only been here a little over a year and a half. And I think he, as he begins to continue to build his career and his ability to do things, he probably shocks himself some days on what he can do. I think going back that week, 2 weeks ago against Wisconsin when he played more exclusively in the D-line position, he had a huge jump from Tuesday to Wednesday. And just a very talented young man, extremely intelligent. I think we're still figuring out how we can use him all the time, but a very diverse player and a guy that I'm excited to see where he goes.
Were you on the Big Ten coaches call last night?
Are you talking about the head coaches thing?
Yeah.
We have head coaches meetings every month, right? So, Brett kind of warned me that there was something floating around out there. And as one of the things I've been impressed with is since Tony came on, he has literally, I wouldn't say daily, but weekly communications through emails. We do Zooms, if not twice a month, usually once a month for sure. And, yeah, I was on a Zoom yesterday that took place between us, the head coaches, and in the Big Ten office, and I think that should probably stay the way it should stay all the time.
With, you know, Reggie possibly potentially, you know, back in the fold, just what does that maybe do for your offense to have another guy?
Well, Reggie just, you know, you guys have seen him. He just always kind of is a guy that shows up when he's needed, right? Like, he's a guy that ended the game against Iowa a year ago, right? Like, there's just times where he's popped up on the scene when no one sees it. And this year was a little bit different, coming in as a starting tailback, right? And unfortunately got injured. I know it's been frustrating for him. I think the part that I've really watched Reggie do is just his overall positive focus and energy, even those weeks when he wasn't playing. And he's been great with Caden. I think when you saw Caden's responses, when it was the highlight of Caden's moment, right, the first thing he did is gave credit to Reggie and Josh in particular. So speaks volumes, I think, to that and what he's been able to do in that running back room. And excited to get Reggie out there because I know he's been itching to get out.
Coach, the schedule for 24 is going to come out. I know you got all sorts of other stuff going on. Is that something you look at, like, briefly and say, yeah, worry about that?
Well, we kind of knew who we were playing, right? And,
right,
and we didn't know the exact order. And it's something that Roger, Denny, and I, and Mark, and Josh have been working on. Yeah, it's we got it the other day. It's you guys know who we're playing, right? There's a lot of travel on the front end, a lot of travel on the back end, which is unusual. We're the only team that has that. But I think when you see the schedule, it should get fans excited. I mean, to have 18 teams now in the league, and to kind of have this randomness. And for us, you know, we've already talked about, made graphics about how we can use that in recruiting. We're going to Oregon, right? Like, and we're going to Rutgers and Penn State. So we've kind of, you know, you talk about a kid that wants to travel and see the country, and nobody can do that more than the University of Illinois. We're going to be at Rutgers, going to be at Oregon, we're going to be everywhere in between. It's an exciting time to be in the league, and of course, you know, our diligence is on right now, but as a head coach, like, last week was a lot of recruiting. You have to be and then, you know, like Pete Wyden, who's our director of admin, or, you know, are basically a guy that kind of handles all of our travel in the building. All last week he was literally at four new hotels, right? Because we've never been to Oregon, never been to USC, never been to UCLA, never been to Washington. So he went and saw hotels where the other team usually stays, right? So there's a lot of dynamics and workings going. You know, when you go west, there's a lot of conversations about, do you go two nights ahead? Most teams in the NFL and most teams in college football, if you travel multiple time zones, especially west, you'll go a couple days in advance just to get players acclimated. So there's a lot of moving parts.
I know the school's gonna...
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued. It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men in a Truck to get rid of all your junk, residential or commercial. Two Men in a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two Men in a
Truck. Build strength and endurance in a high-energy fun fitness class with the Urbana Park District. Work It Circuit runs Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Phillips Recreation Center. Classes are between 5 and 5:50, October 24th through December 14th. Each session takes you through a full-body workout with a mix of resistance training and high-energy aerobics. No experience is necessary, and people of all abilities are welcome. Instructors can modify the class to meet your needs. For details, visit urbanaparks.org.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Reach your savings goals. Busey Bank's CD specials can help. Watch your money grow with competitive rates and offers. Visit busey.com/CD rates, visit your local service center, or call 1-800-67-BUSEY today. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights. Dogtown is the people's choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Back on the drive at Sandpiper, ESPN Radio 93.5. It's Friday, coming to an end here. You know what that means, especially when Hans D is in the building. We're going to do some Who You Got. We're going to do NFL, college football, a little bit of what else we got, Hansi?
Is he going to have us pick Illinois and EIU?
I would not be surprised.
I got a bold one on that.
Oh, you said bold
no,
pick?
No.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Kyle. He asked us about the NBA. There is going to be the in-season tournament, which I don't know how to feel about that. How do we get people to care about that? I think we spent a segment, Kyle, a few months ago talking about that. I don't know the answer.
I really don't either, and it surely isn't make all the courts ugly. That's not the way.
Hans, you got any brilliant ideas as far as making people care about the in-season tournament?
Oh boy, having some great like sports betting thing offer.
Yeah,
get your money back, something like that. Otherwise,
a lot of bonuses.
No one's gonna care.
I like where your head's at, Hans. Sports betting—they have done pretty well. The books, you know, through the World Series and some stretches of early NBA to get some. I know Kyle's not old enough for this yet, but to get. Rocking on your DraftKings and FanDuel and whatnot. So it is Friday, which we do have to cheers to the week that was. Cheers to the streak continuing. Lante not getting a full five in this week.
Yep.
So we got to cheers to that as well. Cheers to him down at the Grove, Ole Miss. I've heard stories. It sounds like a pretty cool place to be.
Who are they playing tomorrow?
Texas A&M.
Sounds right. Yep. That should be
I believe.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a ranked A&M team, and should be a really cool environment. So I hope they have a great time. Anything else you want to cheers, guys?
I don't know. I really don't
College
know.
College basketball is true. Back.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Monday's when it all counts. Well, the Champions Classic, when is that? Is that?
That's the same night Illinois plays Marquette, which I told you one time off the air when I came in here. I'm bummed out about it. Maybe I still said it on the air, but kind of a bummer.
I know.
Those are four really good teams, but I won't be complaining being at State Farm Center that night.
Those will be great games. Illinois Marquette, not that far away. You'll have the Maui and all the Thanksgiving-type tournaments. Cheers to people that want to decorate their houses for Christmas already. I'm not in that boat. Maybe we boo those people. I don't know.
Lon would be all for it, but he's not here. So.
Anyways, anything that anyone else wants to raise a toast to, go ahead, text it in, whatever you want to do. But to the weekend that is coming up.
Happy hour.
All right, let's let Hans D take the reins. We'll transition into some F-ball here shortly.
Yep,
but oh, you know how to do it? Oh, my goodness. Wow, you're off to teach me that. With the new system, I did not know how to do that. Kyle with the moves. Hans with the who you got. Go, buddy.
All right, first up, we've got basketball. 25th ranked Illinois hosts Eastern Illinois.
I knew it.
This is Monday, 7 p.m. Who you guys got?
Wonder what the spread is. What's KenPom say? Let me look this up real fast.
By the way, I think this is my first time actually participating in Who You Got. Hey. So this is a big day.
Legendary.
It's quite an honor. They have Illinois winning 84-55. So we'll say the spread is 29.5.
Isn't the line
29.
Out? Didn't they release
is it out?
The, or do, are they not doing for like the just.
No, it might be out
I
there.
Didn't
complete.
See one, but.
I thought maybe that the spreads opened like last night or the night before, but I could be wrong, and it doesn't really matter.
They're usually similarly in line with the openers as far as the KenPom. So let's say Illinois minus 29. No one cares. I mean, we're all picking Illinois. So is Illinois going to cover 29 points? That's a real question.
I say yes. I think they win by 30 plus.
I like it.
I say they win, by about 35.
I agree. All right, moving on to the NFL. We got the Bears at the Saints. Saints are 4-4. New Orleans is favored by a touchdown, over under 41.5. Who you guys got?
Real quick, Kyle is correct. DraftKings, although you can't do this in the state of Illinois, if you are outside of the state, Illinois minus 26.5 on DraftKings. Looks like minus 28 on Caesars.
They really don't think Illinois can beat this team by 30? EIU? Didn't last year's team destroy them?
I think they did. That was the opener last year, and the score was
87-57.
I guess it was right on.
Eastern did go to Iowa City, and then they beat them.
They did.
That was a 92-83 win for Eastern last year. They were a bad team, though. They were 9-22. Marty Simmons is a steep hill to climb. We're going to see the return of Jermaine Hamlin.
Ah.
Should have led with that.
Oh, yeah.
No,
was he ineligible last year?
Was he?
Or did they see him?
He played in only... He played 26 games.
So did he play?
So maybe he did play in that game. Maybe he's already made his return. Yeah, he did. He played 17 minutes. He started.
How'd he do?
6 points. 6 points, 3 turnovers, 4 fouls.
By the way, just a side note to the audience. This is what happens when I mention the Bears. We just sidetracked to basketball again.
I don't have much to add about the Bears. Unfortunately, Justin Fields not playing this game. I would be far more intrigued if he was. I don't need to watch Tyson Bagent, but I'm going to. The Saints will win. They're at home. We haven't seen a Jamal Williams touchdown all year yet. On a little betting side note, I think I like Jamal Williams to find the end zone for the first time all year. But I haven't been impressed by the Saints. Derek Carr has been really rough. So, Kyle, what do you think?
I'm going with the Saints as well. The Bears. I feel like the Bears are purposely, like you said earlier, Justin Fields may be good to go, but, you know, this one Saints don't look good enough, so we got to make sure that they lose this one for the draft pick. So, yeah. Going with the Saints.
Yeah. What do you think, Hans?
I got that feeling. Bears are going to win.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
Little internal battle in my household. My wife's a Saints fan. So, really? Yeah.
All right.
Need it.
Yeah, we do. Next up, Dolphins versus the Chiefs in Frankfurt, Germany.
Hey, a game that matters.
8:30 a.m.
Of course, it's in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
How long does it take to fly to Germany? Oh, my pilot friend.
In the Lear. That's... I'm just going to give a range, 10 to 15 hours.
Wow.
That's probably, I don't know. It's 4 hours from here to California.
Right.
So I'll just say 10 to 15.
Okay.
But Kansas City is favored by 1.5 points, over under 50. Who you guys got?
Kyle, you take the lead.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this game. It's such a shame that it's at 8:30 a.m. Central Time and not in prime time at Arrowhead or at Hard Rock. But nevertheless, I think this should be an awesome game. Dolphins need to beat a good team, man. 6-2, but the two losses are against high-caliber opponents. The Bills and Eagles, the 6 wins are against non-playoff teams. They need this one for their reputation to get the respect they deserve, and I think they're going to get it. Tyreek Hill revenge game against the Chiefs. He's going for a 150 and 2 touchdowns.
That'd be awesome.
And I think the Miami Dolphins get it done against a Chiefs team that, while they've still been the usual Kansas City Chiefs in terms of record, they're a little more vulnerable to me than they have been the last couple of years. And I think the Dolphins get them here. They also, I saw something about how the Dolphins got to Germany on Monday and the Chiefs just got there today. So
interesting.
Chiefs may be a little jet lag. Dolphins could take advantage. I'm going with my Miami Dolphins to move to 7-2, get that statement victory.
I never understand why teams wait until right before the game to get to make that flight. You'd think you'd want to be there all week long, at least as much as you could.
I agree.
Chiefs coming off a loss, so you do, I think, naturally you think Patrick Mahomes is really going to lose 2 in a row. He hasn't been that great this year. Like, no. Statistically, in comparison to his previous season, this is one of the worst performing years he's had so far. The receiving core is not very good. I'll say I'm with you, Kyle. I like the feeling of the Dolphins with something to prove, with Tyreek. That offense is just is electric. Let's say Taylor Swift has her passport denied. She can't get over to Germany. So Dolphins win in Germany. Let's do it.
Yes.
Love it.
That Eagles game was just disappointing against the Dolphins. But I think the offense is cleaned up and they're ready to go. And the Chiefs took the L already, just getting there so late. All right, next up, Cowboys at the Eagles. Cowboys are 5-2, Eagles 7-1. Philly's favored by 3. Who you guys got?
I know Philly's banged up a little bit, and Jalen Hurts hasn't played fantastic football, obviously, as he did last year. I don't know if I trust Dallas. They played a team that, you know, pretty physical up front, obviously, in the Niners, and got their teeth kicked in. Philly is known to have a really good offensive line. Defensive line's very good, although it is, again, it's pretty banged up. But I just don't know if I trust Dak on the road in a big spot. I'm going to say Philly. I'm going to say Philly at home.
I'm with you there. I watching Philly play the Dolphins and kind of dominate at the line of scrimmage there. Their defense, I think, is really good, and I think Dak going up against that front seven of Philly in Philly, I have no confidence that that's going to go well for him. And I just the Eagles to me might be the most complete team in the NFL. I thought it was the Niners for a while, and then Brock Purdy has not looked like himself, you want to call him that, the last couple weeks. Philly has, for the most part. I think Philly gets it done.
Philly's got some, as a city, some anger to take out, the fact that they weren't in the World Series.
Yep. Well, they've been so close. The Philly gets to the Super Bowl last year, can't get it done. The Phillies get to the World Series last year, can't get it done. Get to the CS this year, can't get it done. Like, they desperately need to actually get it done once.
Yeah. Donovan McNabb couldn't get it done for them. Who knew that it would take Nick Foles being the guy that could get them across the finish line? Of course, the Phillies won one with Ryan Howard and company, but still. Yep, I agree.
All right, Bills at Bengals. Cincinnati's favored by 2.5.
In listening to some people's expert opinions across the national landscape, a lot of people picking the Bengals in this one. And they are at home. It's a primetime game. Buffalo's been a little disappointing, especially, you know, their defense doesn't seem to be elite. Josh Allen has had turnover issues. I don't know, though. Is Burrow right now? Is he, like, all the way back?
He has. The last 2 weeks, he's looked like the old Burrow.
I want to pick Cincinnati, but I feel like... give me Buffalo. I'll take Buffalo.
I'll take Cincinnati then, because okay. I think Buffalo hasn't, other than just dominating the Dolphins, which they do every single year, Allen owns them. They haven't been all that impressive this year.
I agree.
I think the Bengals, it seems like the last 3 years, every year they get off to a slow start and it's like, oh, are the Bengals done? And then Burrow just, for whatever reason, he's terrible for 3 games and he returns to MVP form. That seems like kind of what's happening here. The Bengals are getting themselves right and they're going to go on a nice hot streak here and they're going to take care of the Bills at home.
I love Joey B. I hope to see it. Hans, who would you pick in that one?
Yeah, I agree. I like the Bengals on this one. They've had two great wins in the past. Well, 2 games. And they're feeling it. They're just going to keep it rolling.
That does happen. The Dolphins' 2-game lead in the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That'd be really nice.
That'd be big.
All right, moving on to college football. We got Big Ten. Number one, Ohio State at Rutgers. Ohio State's undefeated. Rutgers is 6-2, but Ohio State's favored 18 points. Who you got?
Ohio State by 3 touchdowns plus.
I'll say 4 touchdowns plus.
All right.
All right, I'll agree with you guys. Next up, number 11, Penn State, 7-1, at Maryland, 5-3. Penn State's favored by about a touchdown. Who you got?
Penn State doesn't look as good as I thought they would be early in the season. Drew Aller, I have some questions, especially, you know, you're talking about in those matchups, the matchup against Ohio State and what that's going to look like against Michigan. But Maryland's fallen off. The momentum is dying there for Mike Loxley and company. I think they get thumped. Probably here by Penn State.
I think it'll be a little bit closer game than maybe you'd expect. Both these teams have looked pretty poor the last couple weeks. I don't know what to make of Maryland because I thought that they were going to be really solid and then they lose to Northwestern and Illinois. I think Penn State wins, but I think Maryland hangs around and it's about, you know, 7 to 10 points.
Makes sense.
Yep. I got Penn State winning that by, like, a touchdown. All right, Illinois.
What's the spread?
Penn State game?
You saying we should take Maryland with the points?
Yeah, we should.
All right.
Illinois visits the Minnesota Gophers. Minnesota is favored by 1.5, over under 43.5. Illinois is coming off of a bye week, and Minnesota will try to get their first win over Bielma. Caden Fagan leads the Big Ten freshman with an average of 5 yards per rush. Who you guys got?
By the way, it's Maryland plus 8.5 if you want to do that.
Mm.
I've released my pick on Illini Inquirer. We'll see. If you've already seen that, then you know what I'm going to go here. But disappointed off of the loss to Wisconsin, obviously. But Minnesota's very beatable, even though they beat Iowa. We talked about that earlier in the show. I think Illinois sticks in it through the first half. Then you get Johnny Newton back. Then you have Newton and Randolph up front to slow things down as far as the running game. Ethan Calicmanis does not impress me. I mean, 7 touchdowns, 7 picks. It's not a great ratio. It just feels like an opportunity to clean some things up off the bye week, to get a little bit more in terms of reps and execution in the late game. I think that's going to matter. I think it will be a tight game late. But I have Illinois going on the road and getting this one, 23-17. That's just where I'm leaning. I thought Illinois would win this ball game going into the preseason. Thought Altmyer would outplay Calicmanis, and I'm going to stick with that. So I say Illinois by 6 in Minneapolis.
I think I'm with you here in this game. After the Wisconsin loss, I thought to myself, like, I'm never going to trust this team again. It's that we've seen 3-5 now. You blow a lead at home. You can't beat Purdue. You can't beat Nebraska. I'm not going to let the Maryland win fool me. But Minnesota, nothing impresses me about that team. I think Illinois on paper can match up with them. I think in terms of what Minnesota wants to do, Illinois should be equipped to slow them down and keep this a pretty ugly, low-scoring game. especially getting Johnny Newton back. I think they can survive the first half. Maybe Minnesota makes a couple plays on the ground. Newton comes back in. Defense rallies in the second half. Altmaier makes a few plays. And I think this one's going to come down late in the fourth quarter. And I'm going to say for the third time this year, Caleb Griffin wins this game with his leg. Illinois 23, Minnesota 21 on a Caleb Griffin game-winning field goal.
I like it.
I love that.
I like that.
Call me crazy. I've got Illinois in this one.
Shocker.
24-17, 14 unanswered points in the second half. Illinois comes back, and we look like a great team, and then we lose the next week. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, I've got Illinois.
Don't you dare be picking Indiana to beat Illinois. Never. Speaking of which, we'll be out at Pia's prior to that game. So next Friday, check us out. West Springfield Avenue, of course, 3 to 5. Hang out afterwards. We got to get out of here, though. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Hopefully Illinois gets it done tomorrow. We'll talk to Jay Layman on Monday. Until then, we're out. Talk to you then. Everybody have a great night and a great weekend. This is The Drive.